And so you understand everything, I hope. Huh? you have to learn Thai, you know, if you live in Thailand, yeah. All the Dhamma, all this wealth of Dhamma is in Thai. Listening to Lungta Mahabua, or yeah. Or listening to Lumpu Chop, or yeah. There's Sun Makop, and at most, you know, it is Lungta Mahabua, yeah. I mean, what is the reason why we came here to this place? Huh? We want to overcome dukkha, yeah. Especially the Mechis and the monks, yeah. I mean, we devote our life to overcome dukkha. And then what do we do? Yeah? There's little dukkha, and then we get lazy. We don't want to work, we don't want to practice anymore, because we don't have dukkha. Yeah? Now think about it, you know, I mean, the human life is one of 31 realms of existence. Yeah? But it is the most valuable for looking for the way out. Out of samsara, out of the hamster wheel. I call it hamster wheel because it's so picturesque. Huh? I mean, everybody sees it, you know, the hamster running and running and running, but not going anywhere. And that is us, yeah? I mean, no matter if you call it, yeah, 30 different realms of existence, yeah, they look different, but you know, we're still running and we don't get out, yeah? Because when we go up, we must go down, yeah? When we go down, we will go up, yeah? Or you can call it the roller coaster of life, yeah? Everybody can't wait to go up, you know? But once he goes up, you know, everybody cries when he goes down, yeah? So much joy, so much fun when we go down, yeah? And that is what happens to us. You know, sometimes we are up in the Deva realm or in the heavenly realm, and then we go to the hell realm, and then we come back to the ghost realm. And then sooner or later we come back, you know, to the human realm. Yeah? And then, yeah, we forget everything what happened before. Yeah? And then we work our life. Then, yeah, we are born as a human being. And the first thing that we learn, you know, is to breathe, actually. Yeah, that's the first thing. Yeah, the doctor gives us a slap on the back and then... And then we start to breathe, yeah? And then we learn how to move the body. Then we learn to walk. Then we learn to talk. Huh? And then we learn to write, to read, and to think. And it takes us 18 years to train this body to be able to use this body in its full strength. 18 years of our life. Yeah? And how long can we use it with full strength? 30 years. Huh? And then it slowly decays, slowly. Yeah, we don't notice it in the beginning, yeah. And then it decays even more and more and more. And then in the end, you know, I mean, there's no more breath anymore and we call it death. Huh? So, I mean, 30 years, yeah. We train it for 18 years. We can use it, you know, full strength for 30 years. And then we wait to die for 40 years. That is life in a nutshell, yeah. And this is what we want? Ask yourself, because this is the question you should ask yourself the moment you feel tired, you know, with practicing. Do I want to be born again? If you don't want to be born again, huh, then you should put your effort in. Huh? When you practice, you know, maybe you practice for 6 or 8 hours, you know, and then you say, oh, it's so tiring. Yeah? Then you should ask yourself, do I want to be born again? Yeah? If you don't, if the answer is no, yeah? If the answer is yes, you can leave. If the answer is no, you should practice, you go on practice, yeah? You should try, you know, you should try to fight with the kilesas who make you tired, who make you bored, you know, or who make all sorts of things, yeah? Because the kilesas, huh? The kilesas are the fangs of avijja. Yeah, the kilesas constantly make us do this and do that. Are not happy about this. Are not happy about that. Or expect this or expect that. Yeah, our expectations. You know, it's just coming from the kilesas. Yeah? The Dhamma doesn't expect anything. Yeah? The Dhamma doesn't expect to get free now, yeah? The Dhamma is just, you know, it's just there, you know, to guide us to the way, yeah? And to tell us, you know, you should actually should do some practicing, yeah? Some walking meditation or sitting meditation. That's what the Dhamma says, huh? But then the citta has to decide if it wants to go the way of the Dhamma or if it wants to go the way of the kilesas. And the kilesas say, oh, but I'm so tired. I worked so all along, yeah? And then we normally give in to the kilesas. Oh, it is so difficult, yeah? I mean, who in the hell is telling us it is difficult? Who in the hell is telling us that, you know, that we don't get any foot on the ground? Yeah? The kilesas, yeah? And because the kilesas ruled our lives, huh? Not only this life, but all our lives before, yeah? That's why we believe them. Huh? Oh, we can't find a way out. Who tells us this? Huh? I don't have enough merit to go this way. Who tells us this? Huh? Huh? I need to stop now. Who tells us this? It's the kilesas, it's not the Dhamma. We need to get some motivation, you know, to really put, you know, to put effort in our practice, yeah? To get really to the stage of samadhi, yeah? Not to let the mind, yeah, go out, yeah? Or the moment it goes out, instantly grab hold of it and put it back onto its Buddha or on its anapanasati, yeah? That's what our effort, that's where we should use our force, yeah, to force the mind back to the Buddha. Once it is on the Buddha or on the breath, then we can let it go. Then we observe the breath. It is important, yeah. We want to change the breath or we want to change the Buddha. No, we want to observe the Buddha and we want to observe the breath. How is the breath to know, yeah? Because the knowing nature of the citta, it's there where we want to go, yeah. We can call it the essence, yeah, of our existence. That's the knowing nature of the citta. And that's where we want to go. That's what we want to experience. How is this knowing nature? Yeah. When we go into samadhi and there are no more thoughts and no more memories coming up, then we have at least an inkling of what it is, yeah? Because at that moment the kilesas are outside of this room, yeah? They cannot bother us anymore. Yeah? They cannot even say, oh, that is nice. Because then you're not in samadhi anymore. Huh? Yeah? Then you already fall prey to the kilesas, yeah? Oh, I want to stay there for longer, yeah? And then you're not anymore in, huh? Because the kilesas, yeah? There is nothing, you know, that tells us what is happening there. In samadhi, there is just this knowing nature of, yeah? Maybe feeling, sensations, and so on, yeah? Maybe even hearing, yeah? But mostly sensations, yeah? Sensations of the body. That's it, yeah? There's no future, there's no past, huh? There's no fear, there's no loneliness, there's nothing, yeah? There's only knowing the sensations, you know, of the body most of the time, or sometimes even hearing, yeah? That's it. But there's nobody who tells us what we hear. There's nobody tells us what we feel. Is that clear? Huh? Because then we are not in samadhi. If somebody tells us this is not right or that is not right, we are not yet in samadhi. Yeah? Hmm? That comes through thoughts, that's the kilesas. They're constantly disturbing us. Yeah? Like these little kids, you know, they constantly bother the mother. Yeah? I want this, I want this, I'm not happy about this, I'm not happy about that. Yeah? Huh? You have to see the kilesas like these. Yeah? Huh? They are not you, they are not me, they are not mine, they are not myself, yeah? There is a power that usurps the citta, yeah? And this is the power that we have to fight, yeah? But for samadhi we have to observe, and know, yeah? Know that the breath, yeah, when we take the breath, know that the breath is rough, or know that the breath is short, or it is long, or it is detailed, or it is very subtle, yeah? But we always know, yeah? We always know the breath. That breath does not disappear. Huh? In the end, the breath will stop, yeah? Before we go into deep samadhi. It will really stop, and most people are afraid of that, yeah? So, that's okay, you know, the next time you know that the breath will stop, yeah? Then just jump into it and see what is left, when the breath stops. There's something, and that means, you know, you go, you jump into the knowingness. Into the knowingness that doesn't know any object. Huh? In samadhi, in upachara samadhi, you know, you still know object. Yeah? The sensation is an object. Yeah? Or the sensation that the body slowly disappears, yeah, is an object. Yeah? You still know the breath, you know, this is an object. Or you still know the Buddha, that is an object. Yeah? But when you enter, you know, apana samadhi, there is no more object, there is just knowingness. Yeah? And the only thing that you know is you enter it, and the next moment you enter, you go out. Yeah? But in the time has, there is no time, there is no space. Yeah? I mean, it can have passed hours, yeah, or even days. Yeah? You just enter one moment, and the next moment you get out. But days or hours can have passed. Yeah? This is apana samadhi, or this is the preview of nibbana. There's no knowing of objects, there's no knowing of future or past or anything. Yeah? There's just this clear knowingness. Huh? And that is the essence. Huh? That is the essence of every being. Yeah? And the essence of every being is one and the same. Yeah? And then the moment we come out, we see very clearly, yeah, how self is created. Yeah? Because slowly a thought comes in, yeah? And then memory comes in, yeah, and it creates, thought and memory creates, you know, creates an object, and this object expands, where am I, what am I doing here, and so on, and then self is created. And then we know self is just an illusion, yeah? It doesn't really exist, even though we believe so hard that it exists, yeah? It's me, it's mine, it's myself, yeah? What is yourself, yeah? Ask yourself, what is self, yeah? Self is made up of these five khandhas. And these five khandhas is the body that is the main, yeah? It's the main obstacle, the body, yeah? And then it is made of feeling, yeah? That's also very, very important, yeah? But then it's made out of thoughts and memories, yeah, and consciousness. Yeah? But none of these five khandhas, yeah, belongs to us. It is... The five khandhas are tools of the Dhamma or the tools of avijja or the kilesa. Yeah? And we can use them, huh? Just like we have any toolbox. Yeah? Whoever has the power over this toolbox can use it. And most of the time the kilesas have the power. Huh? So they use it for their entertainment. It's all what they want. They all want to play. Huh? But they don't want to be raptichok. They don't want to be responsible for what they are doing. Yeah? And the one who the owner of the tools, yeah, he is the one who is responsible, not the one who uses the tools. Huh? The one who is the owner of the tools, you know, he has to go to hell when the kilesas use the tools in the wrong way. Huh? We have to understand it. Yeah, the five khandhas are tools. Yeah. And the kilesas or avijja can use it, or the Dhamma can use it. When the Dhamma uses it, that's when we walk chankram, or when we sit in samadhi, yeah? Or when we do investigation, yeah? Investigation of dukkha vedana, investigation of the body. Yeah? That's where the Dhamma uses the toolbox, yeah? Because it needs sanya, it needs sankhara. I mean, it needs the thought formation and it needs, you know, memory, yeah? To be able to do the proper investigation, to ask the right question, yeah? Not where it's coming from, yeah? How does it feel? How does dukkha vedana feel? How does pain feel, yeah? Huh? What is the difference between pain and anger? What is the difference between anger and lust, yeah? How does it feel? How is the feeling different? I mean, we feel something and then we put a label on it, and for that, you know, and then everything is gone. Yeah? And then from that basis on, I mean, we use our memories and we use our thoughts either to get rid of it or to get more of it. We don't even know the feeling. Yeah? We don't even know the difference between anger and lust. We don't know the difference between fear, you know, and fear and pain. Yeah? Where's the difference? We just make it up by putting labels on it, yeah? That's why we have to understand. It's very important, not only about the body investigation, but also about feeling, yeah? That we use, yeah? I mean, that We don't put labels on it. Yeah? That's when we investigate pain, for instance. We want to know how pain feels. How is it? We don't want to know. We want to get rid of it. But that is not a practitioner. A practitioner wants to understand, wants to know what these things are that constantly bother us. That's what a practitioner is. He wants to know, yeah? But he wants to know the right things, huh? He doesn't want to know where it's coming from. He knows, you know, what is arising, yeah? He wants to know, what is this, yeah? And how does it differ from something else that arose before, yeah? Why is there depression, yeah? I mean, what is it? What is an emotion, yeah? That's what the Kalesas want to know. Now, we want to know, how does a depression or emotion develop, yeah? What comes first, yeah? A thought, a feeling, a memory, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, it's rolling, it's like a stone, you know, that rolls into the snow, yeah? And each turn, you know, it takes on more and more and more and more, yeah? Until it becomes an avalanche that overruns us. That's called an emotion, yeah? But the stone, you know, is the important thing. If you pick out that stone, you know, there's no avalanche. There's no emotion. Emotions are made up. Made up of nearly all of the five khandhas, yeah? That's what an emotion is. Mostly of three khandhas, Vedana, Sanya, and Sankara. And we fall for it. Yeah? We think, oh, we can't take it. Huh? Actually, you know, very easy. Yeah? You just push Buddha, 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 Buddha. 5 minutes later, you know, if you do it 5 minutes, there's no more emotion. It's gone. Because you take the basis away on where the emotion is, yeah? Based. Yeah? But then you let go of your Buddha and then it comes again. Yeah? And then you press Buddha, 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 and then you see, you know, where's the actual stone that causes this emotion. Yeah? That's how you investigate. Yeah? Not asking where is it coming from, why is it there, or why is it there. Yeah? That's useless thinking. Yeah? Now, looking, observing. And that is especially important, yeah? I mean, we learn it with samadhi training. We learn to observe the breath, we learn to observe the Buddha. Every detail of the Buddha. Is the breath at the middle? Is the breath at the end? Is the breath at the beginning? Is it in breath, you know? Is it long? Is it short, yeah? Or also with the Buddha, you know, is it fast? Is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow, you know? We have to know all the time. The object that we observe, we have to know all the time. About the rest of the world, we don't have to know. But that's where the Kalesas want to know. Huh? What is going on outside there? Who is having a loud voice over there? Huh? That's not interesting to us. Yeah? Yeah? I feel like a dragon spitting fire. Hopefully, you know, some of the Kalesas are burned out. Yeah, this is something we really, yeah. And also about our motivation. Huh? Don't get, what is it, tonchai. What is tonchai in English? Don't retreat, you know, don't retreat from the thing. Yeah. I mean, you want to practice, you came here to practice, and that's all what you want to know. Yeah. If it is difficult, it's made up by the Kalesas. The Kalesas tell us it's difficult. It's useless, the Kalesas tell us. We should go to another place, the Kalesas tell us. Yeah? What we should know is, you know, I mean, am I with my Buddha or not? Am I with the breath or not? Or am I with the object of investigation or not? That's all what we need to know. Yeah? And how is this object of investigation? That's what we need to know. Everything else we don't need to know. It's just pulling us, yeah? And then you see, you know, how the Kalesas slowly pull us out and, it is important to think about this. It's important to reflect about the Dhamma. The Dhamma is here in the heart, that's where we have to observe it. Huh? It's not somewhere else, yeah? It's not in the books, yeah? It's arising here in our heart, yeah? And that's where we look, yeah? Now we have to think about it, yeah? Is it the right method, you know, that I'm using now? You know if it is the right method, you know, if you're with your Buddha, then you know it is right. If you're not with your Buddha, then it's not right. If you're with your object of investigation, then it is right. If you're not with your object of investigation, it's not right. That's all what you know. I mean, it's so simple. But we don't like simple things. I mean, we're highly educated, especially when we come from the West, we are highly educated, yeah? Make it up to a doctor, you know, doctorate, you know, I mean, we're all up in our heads, yeah? Huh? So simple things are nothing for us, you know, we need to figure it out. Huh? But practice is just the opposite. We need to observe what is going on. Understood? Okay.
I have a question along those lines, Longpo. So yes, in theory, I should be with the investigation objects for the Buddha. But recently, sometimes there's been like really strong kalesas coming up, and like so strong that I kind of feel like nauseous from them. Like they're so disgusting to me.
Yeah.
And I can see it's not in the object. I can see that it's all coming from here.
Yeah.
So instead of being with the object or with the Buddha, I actually look at the disgust and the kalesas themselves and how it is so disgusting. It makes me feel sick. Is this a legitimate thing to be doing, or should I go back to the object or back to the Buddha?
No, you can look at the disgust, but you know, not when you do your Buddha meditation. Yeah? You can make a note while you do the Buddha meditation, and then after you finish samadhi, you know, then you can look at it. Yeah? Otherwise, the kilesas will use it to constantly, you know, put your attention onto something else, and you will never get calm.
So if I'm investigating, it's okay?
If you're investigating, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah, but when you do a Buddha or when you do the breath, yeah, the only objection, the only exception to the rule is when there is painful feeling, when you can't even concentrate on the breath or on the Buddha anymore. Then you investigate pain. But then you go to the point of pain, you know, and start ask the question, yeah? First of all, you have to accept pain. That's what where most people, you know, just give up, yeah? We have to accept the pain, yeah? And then we have to ask, where is the pain, yeah? Is it anicca, yeah? Is it changing? And we notice it when we are with the pain, it's changing. It's not always constant. Sometimes it's a bit stronger, sometimes it's a bit weaker, you know, it changes, yeah? Sometimes it's an area, sometimes it's just a point, yeah? Very point-wise, yeah? And then we look, yeah? Where is it actually, you know? Is it in the skin? Is it in tendons? Is it, you know, in the muscles? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the bones? Yeah? But we have all these things since we are born. But yeah. So where is it? Yeah. And when we are close to the answer, it changes to somewhere else. And then we see it's a magic trick of the kilesa. Because this was excruciating pain, and then it changed to another place, and that is not excruciating anymore. Then it couldn't be there. Or not? But we don't get that. We don't get that it is magic, you know. So we go to the next place until we come to the place where it is actually, yeah, arising, yeah, this pain, the dukkha vedana, yeah. We have to follow, yeah. But we have to be autonomous, we have to, you know, be endure it a little bit, yeah. But not enduring, you know, just, you know, enduring it through, you know, through investigation, asking, constantly asking, yeah? Want to know, yeah? Okay, understood?
Well, according to that, if I can overcome the small vedana, but, so now I'm struggling with the overcome the bigger vedana, so what I'm lacking is the sati or samadhi or both?
Sati. Probably sati and samadhi, yeah? I mean, if we give up, you know, if the pain is too much and we give up, we should know, we should make a mental note, yeah? We have been defeated.
Okay. I don't know, never think of that, but I know my ability now. I can overcome and I can see quite...
Yes, but has it disappeared already?
Yes.
Hmm? Has the pain already disappeared?
Yes.
Yeah, and has it moved to another place?
Yet, but
eventually I know the another pain will come. But when it comes second or fourth wave,
yeah,
I can't take it anymore. So first wave, second wave, you can see how it comes.
Yes.
Or you can see that you not get brother from that feeling, because you know that only.
But you have to ask. What is missing? You have to ask. You have to investigate. You have to ask the question: where is the pain? And then look in the skin. Yeah, have your sati, you know, really sharp sati. You know, look in the skin. Is there the pain, or is it in the sand and kaduk? Yeah. You have to look. You have to ask. You know, you really want to know. Yeah. But just enduring the pain, you know, I mean, it might go away, you know, and then come back, yeah? But this is not investigation of pain. You have to ask the questions, yeah? And why is it that I'm only, you know, experience this kind of pain when I'm sitting in samadhi?
But to be able to bear with that while you investigate, you need a bit stronger samadhi and...
You need quite good sati, or you need quite some samadhi, yeah? So I mean, if your samadhi is not, you know, not good enough, you know, then go back, you know, and then change to walking meditation, you know, huh? And then go back, yeah, and do it again. But don't get fooled. Oh, my samadhi is not strong. This can be also, you know, huh? Well, the Kilesas like to fool us with these things because they don't want. And the thing is, the first thing that you have to do with pain, you have to really accept it. You have to really feel it. And that is what we don't want to do.
That's my technique, actually. I'm not like push it away. I like welcome it.
Yeah.
Like open to see what it really is. But
that's why
I can take in certain level.
Yeah.
But now.
But then you have to have the sati and to see what the mind is making out of this pain.
I'm not sure.
Huh? Okay. Because there are constantly thoughts about this pain coming up. Yeah? You have to ask a question, you know, I mean, the answer comes from the heart, yeah, and it doesn't come through thoughts, yeah? there are some thoughts in the background that tell you, you know, it is too much. So where do they come from? That's where we have to have sati. You know, when we investigate something, we have to see also what is going on in the mind. What is he, you know, what he's up to? What are the kilesas up to, you know? Because they are in the background. When you look, when you have good sati, you know, and when you look, you know, be it tiredness or be it pain. You sit for a while and then there's a slight thought coming up, oh, there's an uncomfortable feeling. Yeah? If you don't catch that, if you catch it, we know, they are on the way. They are coming to get us. Yeah? And then nothing. Yeah? And 5 minutes later, there's another thought. Oh, this is not really comfortable. Yeah? And if you don't catch it, you know, I mean, it goes on. Yeah? And then after 2 minutes it comes. Oh, yeah, there's some pain, you know. And then three, you know, 1 minute later, it builds up, yeah. If you catch it at the beginning, boops, it's gone, yeah. If you catch the tricks, yeah. I mean, it tells us actually, when we have sati, it actually tells us what it is up to.
I think I can see that. I can see the craving come.
Yeah.
That craving, when it's stronger, the craving, like, one, you know, at the beginning, I can see the feeling.
Yes.
One part, this rupa is one part, and the knowing is another part. So
yeah,
three different things. I can see that quite clear at the beginning, but like I said, when it comes a bit stronger, then I can say, the craving that want, because the pain comes,
yes,
the feeling that wanted to go away.
This is one thing, but what I was talking about is about the thoughts that come up about this pain, yeah? Mm-hmm. That shows us what the kilesas are cooking up. Yeah? Because it is not strong, yeah? Huh? I mean they convince you that it is strong. Huh?
Yes.
And in the beginning it is very soft. Maybe this is, yeah. And then they come, you know, and with each time, you know, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And in the end, you know, we can't take it anymore.
That's right.
But before you can't take it anymore, you know, I mean, feel it, you know. I mean, have a Buddha and know what the mind is up to, what the kilesas are up to. Huh? Because you actually see it coming. Yeah? They tell you. They tell you everything what they are up to. Yeah?
So just not listen to it,
yeah? Yeah, we don't listen to it.
Okay.
That's where sati is. Sati is very important. Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking you what I'm lacking is a stronger.
It's probably sati. In the sati, you have to develop with the samadhi, knowing about the object, about when you take the breath, knowing every detail of the breath. Yeah. Knowing when it is changing from in-breath to out-breath, knowing when it is changing from out-breath to in-breath, knowing it is at the middle, knowing it is decaying, knowing it is arising, yeah? Knowing every detail about the breath, or when you take the Buddha, just the same thing, yeah? This knowingness is the development of sati, yeah? Of knowing the object that we observe. Yeah?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah? And this knowingness, if you want to know how to observe correctly, yeah, by not manipulating the breath or not manipulating the Buddha, observe the animals here in the forest, yeah, because you can observe them, you know what they are doing, but you cannot control them.
Yes.
And that is the principle how you should observe the breath or the Buddha, yeah, and constantly know what is going on. Yeah.
Could you also use sound like that?
What?
Instead of watching the animals, could you use sound in that
way? It's very difficult. Because instantly thoughts are coming about the sound, if you like it or don't like it, you know, if it is too strong or too loud, yeah? No. Huh? Sound is a very, very difficult thing, you know, it's a training, you know, just to know sound, yeah? Sound is sound, yeah? Because then the chitta has to know its sound, you know. And then you see what the chitta makes out of, what the kilesas make out of the sound. This is a female voice, this is a male voice, this is a music, you know, this.
I wouldn't do it with those things. I'm a bit forest.
Yeah, this is a bird. Yeah? These are leaves falling. This is rain falling. But the sound itself, you don't even catch it because you put already the label on it. And then you don't know the sound.
But I can do the same thing with the animal.
Oh,
that one's really cute.
Yes. Then good night. That's not the training. That's not what I'm talking about. This one is cute. This one is not cute. Yeah. This one stings. Yeah. Doesn't stick. This one bites. This one doesn't bite. No. That's not the way. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Observing, you know, what they are doing. Yeah. Know what they are doing. It's just like observing the breath. What it is. What's going on? How is the breath? Okay. So, are there any other questions? The male population doesn't have any questions. Huh?
Maybe I just wonder if it matters if the Buddha is fast or slow, like if there is a different characteristic when it's fast. So there is a or like one that is more proper, more important.
No. We don't judge. That is the important thing. Even if the breath is very rough or not subtle, we don't judge and we don't make it subtle or we don't make it, yeah? We don't judge it, you know? We just want to know how it is at that moment, yeah? If it is long, if it is short, if it is, you know, fast, if it is slow, if it is deep or if it is shallow, you know, I mean, we just want to know, yeah? Not one thing or the other thing is better, huh? The important thing about it is it's knowing about it. Yeah, you understand?
Yeah, but I wonder if I can expect what will happen.
No. Expectation is the worst thing that you can do. Yeah. We are interested in what is happening because we want to understand, you know, how things evolve. Yeah. If we understand how things evolve, yeah, this kind of understand, understanding leads to wisdom. If we expect something, we don't see actually, you know, all these opportunities. You know, we just see the things that we want to see. That's called tunnel viewed, yeah? Huh? And most of us are tunnel viewed. We don't want to look left or right, yeah? If we are tunnel viewed with our practice to only to observe, you know, the Buddha, that is fine. Yeah? There we can be tunnel viewed, yeah? But there we are not tunnel viewed. Huh? Okay, understood? So, any other questions?
When I'm doing walking meditation, I'm getting kind of, I'm not really sure what is the correct method that I should be using. When I'm doing sitting, I'm doing the Buddha and the breath.
Yeah.
So I'm not really concerned about the pace of the Buddha, because I know when it's going in, it's boom, and it's going out and stuff. When I'm doing walking, I'm getting kind of, I'm like confused, I guess, about the pace, if the Buddha is too fast or if it's too slow. And it seems like if I try to focus on the Buddha and on the breath when I'm walking, then
that's too much.
It's too much, yeah.
I mean, either focus on the breath and or on the Buddha, yeah. And what you can do is, you know, you can also use the sensation of the body, yeah, to focus on the sensation of the body while walking, while you do your breath or while you do the Buddha. But don't do Buddha and breath at the same time when you do walking meditation. And for walking meditation, it is very important, yeah. I mean, when you start walking meditation, you have the end of that, yeah. So you tell yourself, to this end, you know, I will be with the Buddha or I will be with the breath, yeah. When you turn around, you do the same thing, yeah. So that you don't get into a circle, you know, where it never ends, yeah. That is the problem with sitting meditation, you know, because we don't know when our mind went off, yeah. We just realized, you know, it came back. But with walking meditation, it is very easy. Each time we turn around, we know, I mean, we have not been with the Buddha or breath all path long, yeah. So this path, I just be with the Buddha or I just be with the breath, yeah. At the end of the path, yeah, when we turn around, we check, okay, just this one path, yeah. Not 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, yeah? No, just this one path, yeah? Okay? Yeah? Any other questions? Yeah?
How should we really treat Teresa? I mean, what's our attitude towards Teresa? Because we know
Kilesas
are the enemies of Dhamma. Yeah. So, and, like, should we hate them?
No.
Because all we know, I think that's not good. Like, should we have attitude, like, in a military way, like, shoot them all?
We should not hate them, but we should get angry at them when they fooled us. Huh? Huh? That's why we should get angry, and the energy of this anger we should use to practice then. Now, it's no use to hate them, yeah? But to see them as your enemy, that is good, yeah?
Yeah, so because in Buddhism we always been taught about metta, even if something that's been happening, I still think about metta. So,
yeah, having metta with the Kilesas, that's sort of good. No. I mean, metta, you know, is metta with other beings, you know, and metta with yourself, yeah? That's where metta comes in, yeah? And don't even, you know, don't put metta on the Kilesas, you know, because then they bother you, yeah? Huh? Whenever you radiate a lot of matter, you know, people come and bother you all the time. So you have to have some sort of anger, you know. What do you want, you know? I mean, to keep people, you know, at a distance, yeah? You know, so keep the Kilesas at a, what do you want now? Yeah? Why don't you like this, yeah? Huh? Why don't you like pain, yeah? Huh? Keep them at a distance, yeah? So you can deal with them better, yeah? And never think that they are you. That is important. Always see them as something else. Okay?
Last question. In the past, you talk about reflection. Right?
Yeah.
Daily reflection at the end of the day. So I tried to do that, but basically what I did is like try to remember what I did since morning to the evening.
Yeah.
But is there anything that we need to specifically pay attention to for the reflection?
Yes. What kind of thoughts, what kind of feelings were there when I was doing this? Not just the activity. I mean, with what kind of thought did I wake up? That's very important. You know, it shapes our day. Huh? The thoughts or the memories that, you know, when we wake up, we have thoughts and memories, you know, that, you know, most of the people, yeah? And these shape our days, and we want to understand how these thoughts and how these memories shape our actions and shape our day, yeah? So then we go to the next activity, I mean, brushing your teeth or washing your face. What did I think? What kind of feelings were there? What did I think there? Yeah? Because it shows you where the direction of where your day is going, yeah? And then you go to the next activity, yeah? Yeah, of course it is a lot. I mean, we want to understand how the kilesas trick us, yeah? How the kilesas fool us in doing this and doing that, yeah? And the kilesas don't like it. That's why people forget to do this daily reflection.
Huh? Is it okay to split
it? It is okay in the beginning to split it, yeah? But you will notice if you do it every day. If you can't remember that, just skip it. And never ever judge. Never say it was good or bad. Never. Just know what kind of thoughts were there, what kind of activities were there. Don't judge. It is difficult, I know. You leave out, yeah? And when you see this judgment, say judgment, you know, and go back to the next activity, yeah? Or go back to the Buddha, you know, to relieve you of the judgment, yeah? Or just say unsure, not sure, yeah? Not sure. There's the judgment coming up, this was not good, not sure. This was good, not sure, yeah? And that, you know, then it shakes, yeah? I mean, if you say that very often, it shakes, you know, you don't really know what it was, yeah? But the heart knows, and that's what is important, yeah? The heart knows if it was proper or not proper, if it was wholesome or not wholesome. Yeah? It's very important. This daily reflection is very, very, very important. Yeah? That's why we don't do it. That's where you get an inkling how your day is shaped. Yeah? Why you do the things that you are doing. We don't know. We just do. We go ahead and do things. Yeah? But we don't know why actually, you know. What kind of feeling was there, you know, before this action started, yeah? Was there a feeling of boredom? Was there a feeling of restlessness? Was there a feeling of unease, yeah? And with this reflection we see it. Ah, that's how they, yeah? That's how they make us do these things. They just want to escape this boredom, yeah? That's why we go in all to these activities, yeah? Yeah. Okay, understood. Yeah. Any more questions? If there are no more questions, then you one of you can read them.
So for more than 5 years, this person has had many fears, mostly irrational, such as getting a disease from eating unhealthy food. He said he tries to expose himself to the fear, but it follows him in the background, making it difficult to focus on what he is doing. Can you advise?
Yeah, the advice would be, you know, to be able to train your samadhi and sati, yeah, to know what is going on. Yeah? When this fear is coming up, what you should do is, I mean, when he does meditation, what kind, does he take the breath or does he take the Buddha? Yeah? So he should fall back on the object of Buddha or the breath. Yeah? The moment he sees fear coming up. And he should do it until he knows that the feeling of fear has stopped. Yeah? And then he should stop. Yeah, he should stop the Buddha or should stop the breath and then look what kind of thought, you know, creates this fear. Yeah? Once he knows, you know, what kind of thought or what kind of memory creates this fear, then he should look into it. Yeah? And then he should use these three universal characters, anicca, anatta, dukkha. Or use, you know, I mean, every one of us has to die. We are born because of our karma, we die because of our karma, we get, you know, we have a long life because of our karma, we have a short life because of our karma, we get this kind of sickness because of our karma, and we get that kind of sickness because of our karma, but our karma is determined by our previous lives. It is not determined by this life, yeah? That is the only thing, you know, that I can advise him, yeah? I mean, the more sati he has, the, you know, the easier it is to go about it, yeah? But these fears, you know, these fears, it's always fears of this body dies, yeah? I mean, when this body dies, the citta goes and looks for another body, you know, what is the big deal, yeah? I mean, when our car, you know, goes bad, you know, when our car is just scrapyard, you know, then we put it to the scrapyard and buy a new one. You know, yeah? We don't bury it like we bury the bodies, you know, we don't burn it and make a big feast out of it, yeah? We just put it to the scrapyard and get a new car. And so why all this fuss about this body, huh? So most of his fears, you know, are related to the body, so he should investigate. I mean, a good thing is maranasati, yeah? I mean, the investigation of death, yeah? We all have to die sooner or later, yeah? And most of us will get sick, you know, sooner or later. But whatever he does, you know, be it with the food or with that, yeah. I mean, he should look at his body, you know, what kind of food is healthy for his body, yeah. If he doesn't know, you know, I mean, then get advice from doctors or things like that, yeah, I don't know. But most of us, we will know, you know, what is good for our body, what is healthy for our body. What is healthy for our body might not be healthy for another body, huh? Everybody is, yeah, made differently, yeah. So, I mean, he should reflect about these things. Okay, so next question.
This same person wants to open a cafe or a restaurant, but he's concerned that he might, in the end, have to order meat directly from the butcher. Is it better that he avoids meat on the menu?
No, I mean, it is okay not to order meat from the butcher. Yeah, if he doesn't order the butcher, you know, to kill that cow or to kill that pig, yeah. I mean, if the butcher already has, you know, already has meat there, you know, I mean, he can buy it. But, you know, telling him I want this kind of meat, if he hasn't butchered it, you know, then he should be careful, yeah. I mean, he should go to the butcher and buy the meat there, you know, that is already open, that is already, you know, prepared, yeah. He can buy this, you know, there's no karma involved. But if he orders him, I want half a pig, you know, or this or that, then, yeah, I mean, then he takes responsibility in the karma of him.
He can buy it from the market.
He can buy it from the market, yeah. I mean, slaughterhouses, you know, he can buy it from the market, yeah, there's no problem. Yeah. And he shouldn't be concerned about, you know, what is healthy for the people, yeah? I mean, he should have, you know, he should be concerned about his intention to make good food, yeah? I mean, for some people, you know, his food, you know, will be like poison. For other people, you know, it will be, you know, boosting the health of their bodies. So, you know, that is their problem. It's not his problem. Okay?
Yeah, that his third question was basically that he thinks that his food.
I read the question, so that's why I answered it already.
I wonder. Right.
You shouldn't be concerned. You know, his good intention to make healthy food. You know, it's all what it's needed. Yeah, and what you know, what the other people, it's their kind of karma. You know, what happens to them.
The next one is, when I'm practicing sitting anapanasati,
the hands begin to move by themselves and do different types of mudras. What should I do? Should I stop doing these mudras, which I find difficult because they do it, they move themselves? Or should I just observe some kind of hand gesture?
Can somebody explain me what is mudras?
Like moving something, some Indian.
The hands will not move by himself. The chitta moves the hands, yeah. So he should have more sati, and then the hands don't move, yeah. But he can, of course, you know, in the beginning observe the movement, yeah. But at the same time, you know, not only observe the movement, but also observe what the chitta, because the chitta has to give them, The chitta has to have an intention to move, and if he catches this intention, he can say no. Because he's the owner of the khandhas. I said, no, I'm not moving. Yeah? It's just like you clamp your hand, you know, and you said, you tell the hand to open it up, it won't open it up. Unless you send an intention to open it up, then it opens up. You have to have an intention to move. Yeah? Yeah? The body does not move on its own. Yeah? But it's part of the chitta, you know, that he is not aware of it that moves the body. Yeah? But the best thing is don't even be concerned with it, you know, stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath. Yeah? Don't even worry about all these things. Because then, you know, after the moving, you know, the body does something different and then it gets distracted this, yeah, and then he gets distracted by that and then he gets, yeah. I mean, the kilesas have so much playground, yeah, that we don't know, yeah. And we get on constantly fooled, yeah. I mean, the objective is, am I with my Buddha, or am I with my breath, or am I not? Yeah. If I'm not with the Buddha, then I should go back to the Buddha. If I'm not with the breath, I should go back to the breath. Yeah? Okay?
Is there any difference between the kilesas and the five hindrances? If not, why are they highlighted?
Can somebody tell me five hindrances? I can't even remember. Sloth and torpor is one of the hindrances.
What sense,
is
it? Desire.
Desire.
Irritation.
Yeah, they all come from the kilesas. There are different names for them, yeah. But, you know, I mean, of course, you know, they feel differently. Desire feels differently like sloth and torpor, yeah. They come, the kilesas bring them up, you know, to deter us from our practice. Yeah? So if you can just concentrate on the kilesas, you know, I mean, it's much better, much easier. Make it as simple as possible, yeah? So that, yeah, I mean, the more detail you do it, you know, I mean, when you look at, for instance, there, the Abhyodharma, 102 mind moments, you know, then you get confused. Make it simple, yeah? That's the kilesas, you know, that's my work, you know? I observe the Buddha, or I observe, you know, investigate the body, yeah? That's my object, yeah? And make it simple, you know, and then it is much easier for us.
With the observation of the pain in the chest, how would I differentiate it from a heart attack? It might not be a Nietzsche, please advise.
If he has to get a heart attack, he will get a heart attack, yeah? No, the chest and the pain. Oh, it's something that he doesn't like. Yeah. No, he just looks at the chest pain. Yeah. I mean, he just investigates like Dukkha Vedana, just like in investigation of pain. He looks at it and then looks. You know, the important thing is just to see what is behind the chest pain. Yeah. I mean, when once I decided, you know, to quit my work, you know, and then and go into homelessness, you know, my pain in the chest was for 3 days, you know, it was so strong, yeah? Huh? Because the kilesas did not like this, they did not like this idea, yeah? But I knew it was right, yeah? Huh? So I didn't care about it, and I didn't care about a heart attack, yeah? But anyway, yeah? I mean, what is behind, yeah? There is something behind this chest pain, yeah? Sometimes, you know, I mean, we all know, every one of us has fallen in love, and the one, you know, that we fall in love doesn't want us, yeah? I mean, there's a lot of chest pain, yeah? Yeah, every one of us knows, huh? Or if our loved one has gone, you know, has left us, you know, there's a lot of chest pain, yeah? Once I knew that my girlfriend was cheating on me, there was, oh, I mean, I couldn't sleep the whole night, the chest pain, yeah? I mean, yeah. We have to learn how to deal with these things. Yeah, it's very strong emotion. The chest pain is very strong emotion that we don't like something that is happening at the moment. Yeah? So he should go and look what is the cause of his chest pain. Yeah, and if he's supposed to have a heart attack, he will have a heart attack. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that because I mean he cannot prevent it. It's karma. There's nothing he can do, yeah? Huh? I mean, if he survives it, you know, it's good. You know, it's good karma, you know. If he doesn't survive it, at least, you know, when he has this pain, he should be, have sati, you know, what is happening, yeah? Huh? So he knows, you know, the heart attack is a heart attack, the body stops, yeah? That's fine, but the chitta doesn't stop, yeah? Then he can direct the chitta to a better life, yeah? Okay? So, it's enough for today, or? Yeah, that's the end of the question. Okay, it's perfect weather for doing chongkram and sitting, yeah? It's not too hot, it's not too cold. So take the most of it, you know, you, yeah? Indonesia and Australian Thai.